Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Let us start in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before your throne on this blessed seventh day, the Shabbat, and we thank you, Father, for always hearing us and always being with us, and we thank you for all the wonderful blessings you've bestowed on us this week and the wonderful rain coming from heaven. And Father, we just pray now that we can enter your rest. We pray for your spirit to guide and lead this study, and we pray, Father, for you to bless your people all over the world who are also entering your rest. We also pray, Father, for what this day represents in the soon coming millennium, where your word will go throughout all the world, starting in Jerusalem. So, Father, we bless you, and we praise you, and we thank you, and we just ask you to lead this study, and we do so in the name and by the authority of your Son and our Savior, Yeshua, we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, we are finished with Revelation and moving on. Like I said, I'm probably going to do some different studies along the way, maybe the next month, and on some different topics from Scripture, some different doctrinal topics, and maybe also some smaller books, prophecy books, and then eventually we're going to get back into the book or get into the book of Daniel, but I'm not exactly sure when we're going to start that. But today, I want to talk about a subject that comes up a lot of times, and it's what is the state of the dead? What is the state of the dead? And I think universally, and this is one of the things, you know, like I said, if you go back 30 years ago, almost all covenant believers were either part of Church of God or one of the Church of God breakoffs. Even the assemblies of Yahweh and the different breakoffs all started with Church of God. You know, they come from C.O. Dodd in the Church of God Seventh Day, where they broke off from. So in there, when you look at the basic beliefs that we were taught there, we really had some really good, profound teachings. But today, you have many, many people that are coming out of the Messianic movement and coming out of Protestantism and all other kinds of things. And I would say almost universally, Christians believe that when they die, they go to heaven. You know, it's at every funeral, it's being said. I know that Catholics believe it, Protestants, evangelicals. It would be hard to find a Christian out there who doesn't believe this. So I think it's really, really important because we want to look at what Scripture says about this subject because it affects every single human being. Every human being is born and every human being is going to die. So what we're going to do today is just go over the Scriptures, hit them one by one, and clearly show that the dead are not in heaven. The dead are asleep in the grave. They're waiting a resurrection to a judgment. And that judgment will decide, you know, whether they're going to get eternal life or eternal death. And, of course, if they're a first fruit and you're in the first resurrection, then the second death would have no power over you. But John 3:13 starts out and says, "No one has gone up into heaven except he, having come down out of heaven. The Son of Man is he who is in heaven." So very, very clearly, I mean, we can almost shut our Bibles up and say that's the end of the story. Either we believe the Bible or not. Do we believe the Bible or not? It doesn't mean that there could be peripheral scriptures that may seem to say something else that we have to delve into. But like I always say, if you really want to get to the truth, if you're really seeking truth, you have to take the hardcore scriptures, start in the middle, and work your way out. And if there's one or two peripheral scriptures that may seem to contradict the doctrine, usually they don't when you look at them. But you can't take a peripheral scripture that's way out in left field and start your doctrine coming from there. So this is very clear. No one has gone up to heaven. You know, no one is in heaven, you know, except for the Father and Yeshua, and of course the angelic beings, the cherubs, cherubim, and the seraphim, and whatnot, but no human beings. Because if you think about it, and I was saying this the other day, from a prophetic standpoint, there's only one person in all the Bible that's named in the prophets as somebody who's literally in the kingdom of Yahweh. He's right there with Yeshua, and that's King David. He is the top person in the kingdom, right? He is there. He is the prince. He's the one that's there. And literally named. We don't even see that of Abraham in the prophets. You know, we know prophecies that Abraham will be in the kingdom and Abraham will be this, but you don't see Abraham being named in Isaiah in a kingdom form, you know, a millennial setting in that day and at that time when the Messiah does this. And there's only David's name that way. So you'd have to say if the dead go to heaven, if anybody is in heaven, it would have to be David, right? Because if David's not there, who else could be in heaven? How could my grandma be in heaven and King David's not in heaven? I mean, my grandma made good tomato sauce and good meatballs, but she was no King David, you know. So it's got to be one way or the other. And if we go to Acts 2 and verse 29, and this is the first Shavuot where David is preaching on Shavuot, and he's clearly telling us that Yeshua is the Messiah, because many people thought King David was literally going to be the Messiah. They thought David was going to be resurrected and be the physical Messiah, and yet Scripture never said that. It said a seed that will come out from him. So here it is. The Apostle Peter is in the upper room, which is right above the tomb of King David, and he's saying, as we pick it up here in verse 29, "Men, brothers, let me speak boldly with you to say to you as to the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is among us to this day." Right? He's not in heaven. He's died and he's buried, and his tomb is there to that day. Drop down to verse 34. "For David did not ascend into heaven, but says, Yahweh said to my Adonai, sit at my right hand until I place those who are your enemies as a footstool to your feet." So David did not ascend into heaven. David is in the tomb. Anybody that wants to come to Israel, I'll take you there. I'll show you his tomb. You could see where he's lying, waiting the resurrection. The same thing with if we go to Hebron. You know, we've done it many times. We can go to the cave of Machpelah, where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah, and Rebecca, and Leah are all there. The mamas and the papas, right? The three patriarchs and three matriarchs, their bodies are there today in that tomb. They're not in heaven. They're in that tomb waiting for the resurrection of the just. So right off the bat here, if anybody is honest with themselves and they're hearing this Bible study, you have to start to think, if David's not in heaven, then why would anybody else be in heaven? Like I said, he's going to be under Yeshua. He's going to be ruling with him through the millennial setting. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5. Says, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead do not know anything, nor do they have any more a reward, for their memory is forgotten." The living know they're going to die, but the dead don't know anything. And that's why I said we're going to go over some of the scriptures here. I'm not going to go over all the scriptures, but very, 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 very clearly in scripture, the dead are seen as sleeping. And that's what it seems like, you know. I mean, if anybody's ever gone to a funeral, of course, unless the body is embalmed, which is a different procedure they do. But if you see a dead person, they really look like they're sleeping. You know, you can almost shake them to see, hey, get up, because they're just laying there peaceful. And that's what the Bible says. It says the dead are asleep. But very, very clearly here, the dead know nothing. They're not conscious, right? Why is that? Because what makes man conscious? Man is only made up of dirt and water. That's all it is. You can go outside and you could get a whole bunch of dirt and you could put it into a form to look like a human being and you could put water with it, and that's all man is. But they need one other thing. They need the spirit of Yahweh to go into that person to give it life. So of course, when somebody dies, the one spirit of Yahweh is going to go back to him. That's what Ecclesiastes tells us. But the person goes into the ground. There's no consciousness in the grave. So you have to have the breath of life to come alive. That's Yahweh's breath that he gives to every single human being that makes us alive, that makes us a living soul, a living nefesh. But at the same rate, once that spirit leaves you and goes back up to Yahweh and you're dead, you're simply sleeping in the grave. The idea of going to heaven, if you look this up, and anybody can go online, you know, we're in internet age, you could find anything through the knowledge of good and evil there on the internet, right? So you could check this out, but the idea of going to heaven when you die is through paganism. It comes through paganism. It's been a false belief for thousands of years, going way back to Egypt, almost 4,000 years ago. And the immortality of the soul, the same thing. You know, the Bible is very clear. The soul that sins, it shall die. Not that it's going to live forever in an uncomfortable position. It will die. And who is the author of the immortal soul doctrine? Satan, right? Yahweh said to Adam, Adam the man, in Genesis 2, in the day you eat that fruit, you will die. And Satan says in Genesis 3, no, you won't die. You won't die. So he is the creator of that doctrine. It's not in Scripture. And again, it comes from paganism. The dead are in the grave, waiting the resurrection. Matthew 27:53. It's very interesting. Matthew 27:53. This is when Yeshua is being crucified. It says, you know, in verse 52, first in verse 51, remember the veil of the temple was ripped in half. And then verse 52, and the tombs were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, right? The dead aware they're asleep, were raised. And coming forth out of the tombs after the resurrection, they entered into the holy city and were seen by many. And I'll read our note here. It says, these were people who believed in Yeshua as the Messiah, but died during his 2 to 3 year ministry. Since only those who have the Spirit of Yahweh will be first fruits in the resurrection, and the Holy Spirit had not yet been given, these people were simply resurrected the same as Lazarus was as a physical being, so they could receive the Holy Spirit on Shavuot and then die later. Hebrews 9:27, appointed all men once to die and then judgment, and awaiting the resurrection as all other true believers. So here's my question. Now, we don't know when these people died. They could have died after 5 months of his ministry. They could have died after 2 years of his ministry. But the point is that these 500 people that were resurrected at this time, we don't have one story of somebody saying they went to heaven. There's no story of any of these people giving testimony when they were dead, they went to heaven. No, it's just the opposite. Many of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. So they had to be raised as physical human beings to give them an opportunity to be there on Shavuot so that they can be first fruits because they believed in Yeshua. But there's not one testimony of any of these people saying they were in heaven. None. Zero. You don't find it. What you find is they were sleeping. They were sleeping. John, Acts 7:60. Because all over the Bible, over and over and over, as we'll see, the dead are not said to be in heaven, but said to be sleeping. And this is with Stephen, when Stephen is being stoned to death. Acts 7 and verse 60. And after he kneeled down, he cried with a loud voice and said, our master, do not cause this sin to stand against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. He died. He fell asleep. He died. It exactly means the same thing. The same way as if you look in the Bible, whenever you see the term breaking bread, and they were breaking bread from house to house, it's just a simple Hebrew idiomatic Aramaic phrase that means they ate together. And this is the same thing. It's a phrase whenever you see, and having said this, he fell asleep. It means he's dead. Dead is equated to be sleeping. So if you're alive up in heaven, why on earth would it be equated to sleeping? You're either alive or you're not. It's one way or the other. John 11:11. John 11:11. And this is when Lazarus is sick, right? And he didn't. The disciples didn't understand what Yeshua was going to do. But look what he says. And he said these things, and after this, he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I'm going that I may resurrect him. Then his disciples said, Master, if he's fallen asleep, he'll get well. But Yeshua had spoken about his death. But they thought that he spoke of sleep of tiredness. Then Yeshua plainly said, Lazarus is dead. So, right? Clearly, Lazarus sleeps. He's speaking about his death. Death in the Bible is equated to sleeping, not going to heaven. Not going to heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15. He says, for we say this to you in the word of Elohim, that we, the living, who remain to the coming of our Master, will not at all go before those who have fallen asleep, those who died. Because the Master himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout of an archcherub's or archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of Yahweh, and the dead in Messiah will rise again first. The dead in Messiah will rise again first. They're dead. They're not alive. They have no consciousness. They're dead, and they're being raised first when Yeshua returns at the resurrection. Right? Because what does resurrection mean? To bring back alive again. Then we who remain alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet our Master in the air. And so we will always be with our Master. So then comfort each other with these words. And that's why we don't have to be afraid of death. Because when you die, you're going to dust you are, to dust you shall return. It doesn't say to dust you are, to heaven you shall return. To dust you are, to dust you shall return. And it's like I say, eternal life is not an inherent right of a human being. It's not a human right to live forever, you know. And even if you're evil, you know, even if you're Hitler, if you're burning in hell forever, you're living forever. You got eternal life. And the Bible says the wages of sin are death. The gift of Yahweh is eternal life. So it doesn't matter if it's life in an uncomfortable position. The wages of sin are death. It's ceasing to exist. And at the resurrection, the inherently wicked will go into the lake of fire and will burn and cease to exist. And the people that are written in the book of life are going to get eternal life and immortality at that point. But before that, once you die, to dust you are, to dust you shall return. You're sleeping in the dust, waiting for the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:6. 1 Corinthians 15:6. It says, then he appeared to over 500 brothers at once, of whom are still standing until now, but some also fell asleep. So it's talking about Yeshua, right? And then he appeared to over 500 brothers at once, of whom are still standing until now, but some also fell asleep. Some died. And the whole chapter is on the resurrection. And then in verse 50, and I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood is not able to inherit the kingdom of Yahweh, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I speak a mystery to you. We shall not all fall asleep. We won't all die, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the blinking of an eye, at the last trumpet. For a trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be all changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Right? So it's very clear. And the point of it is, if when you die, if you immediately went to heaven and went to hell, what's the point of a resurrection then? What would be the point of being resurrected? Like, why would you want to get this body that you've been bound in this whole life, that you can't wait to get rid of, and now you die, you go to heaven and you're a spirit being, and now the resurrection comes and you're going to get your body back? It wouldn't make any sense. There'd be no point of a resurrection if you immediately get your reward or your punishment when you die. It would make the resurrection totally meaningless. But what we see in Scripture, you don't find one Scripture, not one, and we're going to go over all these today. You don't find one Scripture of somebody dying and going up to heaven. You don't find it. Even sometimes, people will go to these archaic Scriptures. I don't have time today to go into everything. But let's say the scripture of Samuel, right? When Saul is going to the witch of Endor, and this witch is bringing up a demon that seems to be Samuel, but it's not Samuel, it's a demon. But let's even say for a minute it is Samuel. Where's he coming from? He's coming from down under. He's not coming from heaven. He's coming from underneath. He's coming from the grave. But it's not Samuel anyway. But even if it was, it doesn't prove it. And like I said, I'm showing you over and over and over, the scriptures that talk about death all say the same thing. As soon as you die, you're sleeping in the grave waiting the resurrection. And you won't find one scripture that's going to say anything differently. Job 14, 13 to 14. Book of Job 14, 13 to 14. Who will grant that you would hide me in Sheol? You would conceal me until your anger turns back, and that you would set a limit for me and remember me. If a man dies, shall he revive? All the days of my warfare, I will wait until my change comes. Job believed in the resurrection. That's what he's waiting. If a man dies, shall he revive? Right? He's sleeping and waiting for the resurrection. Job did not believe he was going to heaven when he died. Remember, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. Yahweh, even in the prayer that the prayer when they asked Yeshua how to pray, and he said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Yahweh is colonizing the earth. He gave mankind dominion over the earth, and like I say, rulership, not ownership. But Yahweh never gave man anything with heaven. There's nothing in Scripture ever saying that heaven has any dominion of human beings whatsoever. And Yeshua, when he left in John 14, he said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm coming back to the earth, so that where I am, you will be also." So Yeshua never said, "I'm going to prepare a place in heaven, and then all you guys are going to come up here." He didn't say that. He said, he's going and preparing and bringing back our reward here to the earth. Very, very clearly. Luke 23 and verse 39. This is one that people misunderstand about Yeshua with the thief on the cross, because there wasn't punctuation in the first century, in neither Aramaic or Greek. And sometimes without commas and parentheses, things can be misinterpreted. But Luke 23 and verse 39, talking about Yeshua being hanged with the criminals. "And one of the hanged criminals blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Messiah, save yourself and us.' And his companion rebuked him and said, 'You are not even afraid of Elohim, because even you are in that judgment. And we are deserving justly, for as we have done, we have been repaid. But that which is hateful has not been done by this man.' And he said to Yeshua, 'Master, remember me when you come in your kingdom.'" So what is he asking him? Is he saying, "Remember me this day"? He's saying, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." He's not going to be coming for 2,000 years. And where they misinterpret it, they'll say, "And Yeshua said to him, 'Today you will be with me in paradise.'" But that's not the way it reads in the original. It's Yeshua said to him, "Truly today, I say to you, you will be with me in paradise." So the today is when he's speaking. It's not the day he's going to be in paradise. "Truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." Now how do we know this? Two ways. Number one, he's not telling him to remember him that day. He's telling him, "Remember me when you come in your kingdom," which is not going to be for 2,000 years. The kingdom isn't even here yet, and it's 2,000 years later. The second thing is, how could Yeshua promise him that he'll be with him in paradise that day when Yeshua was going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the earth? So Yeshua wasn't even going to be in paradise then. He was going to be sleeping in the earth. It says that the Son of Man will be three. The only sign, right, is the sign of Jonah. 3 days and 3 nights, he will be sleeping in the heart of the earth. So not even Yeshua would be in paradise. So how can he be telling the man? So if we're honest with the scripture, the reference here is not that he would be that day in paradise, you know, in Eden. But it's that Yeshua is saying to him, "I tell you today, yes, you will be with me in paradise." When will that be? When the resurrection happens. And the white throne judgment, you know, that this man will wind up being with Yeshua in paradise. What about Enoch and Elijah? These are two things that come up. Good questions to come up. Let's take a look and see what really happened with Enoch and Elijah. Are they really in heaven? Does the Bible ever tell us that Enoch and Elijah are up at the throne of Yahweh? It might be a little different than you think. Genesis 5 and verse 21. Genesis 5 and verse 21. It says, and Enoch lived 65 years and fathered Methuselah. And Enoch walked with Elohim 300 years after he fathered Methuselah, and he fathered sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with Elohim, then he was not, for Elohim took him. So number one, it never says he went to heaven. It never says that he has anything to do with heaven. It basically just says, what do we know about this? Well, we know two things. Number one, people lived much longer than then. He only lived 365 years. So in that day, that was pretty young. You know, today, it's kind of odd thinking of that. But people living 800, 900 years old, he's 365. And then what do we know? That he walked with Elohim, right? So he was a righteous man. He's following Elohim. And then he was not. He was not, for Elohim took him. So let Scripture interpret Scripture, right? So let's see what other Scriptures say about this, and let's try to see if we can figure out exactly what happened to him. But one thing is very clear. It says nothing about Enoch going to heaven. It says nothing that he died and went to heaven. So Enoch walked with Elohim. It's past tense. And his days were, not still is. So it's showing that he's dead. Right? Because it's using past tense of his character. Because if it wasn't, then he would still be following Elohim up in heaven. But it doesn't say that. It's using the past tense that he's not here anymore. And Hebrews 11 verse 5. Hebrews 11 verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated so as not to see death, and was not found because Elohim translated him. For before his translation, he had obtained witness to have been pleasing to Elohim. So this is very interesting now. So by faith, he's translated, meaning he was taken from one place to another, not to see death, because somebody, it sounds like someone's trying to kill him, and he wasn't found by them, right? Because Elohim moved him from one place to another. But before he was moved, he obtained witness to be pleasing to Elohim. So, is there another scripture that can kind of tell us what's happening here? Yes, it's in the book of Jude. If we go to Jude 14, we're going to see what was happening here. Jude 14, it's only one chapter, so it's verse 14 and verse 15. It says, and the seventh from Adam, Enoch, also prophesied to these men, saying, behold, Yahweh comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the wicked because of all the deeds they have wickedly committed and because of all the harsh words which the unrighteous sinners have spoken. So now we see what's happening, that Enoch is prophesying to these men, you know, and think about it. If you're living in the times of, it was pretty bad before the flood, right? To the point where the people were so bad that Yahweh had to destroy every man, woman, child on the planet, except for Noah and his family. So how long do you think, if there's this evilness that's there, think of like Chicago today, how bad it is. How long would it be if someone thought they were a prophet of Yahweh and they went to Chicago in the middle of the night and started telling people about all, to convict them of all their wickedness because of their deeds they've wickedly committed because of all the harsh words and the unrighteous sinners have spoken. And if he's someone speaking like that, how long are they going to last? Well, in Chicago, you wouldn't last the night. You're lucky if you last an hour. But that's the point of it, that because Enoch was righteous before Yahweh, Enoch was witnessing to these people of the evilness, they were going to kill him, and if they killed him, they would desecrate his body, and Yahweh moved him from one place to the other. It's that simple. That's all the word means. Yahweh translated him. He moved him from one place to the other, and then he died. You know, because it clearly does not say, though, anywhere that Enoch went to heaven. And if we go back to Hebrews 11... in verse 13. So let's go back now to verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated as not to see death and was not found because Elohim translated him. For before his translation, he had obtained witness to have been pleasing to Elohim. So like we said, he moved from one place to the other. Now we know why, because he was witnessing to these people. Then look at verse 13. These all died by way of faith, not having received the promises, but seeing them afar off and being persuaded and having embraced and confessed that they are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These all died not yet receiving the promise. Very, very clearly from Scripture, Enoch died. Enoch died. So he didn't go to heaven. Yahweh moved him from one place to another so his body wouldn't be desecrated by these people that he's witnessing of all their evil deeds. And right here in Hebrews 11, it clearly tells us that he died. So we could cross Enoch off the list. Clearly the Bible does not tell us anything about Enoch being in heaven. How about Eliyahu? 2 Kings 2. 2 Kings 2. Verse 1 through 3. And it happened when Yahweh was to cause Eliyahu to go up to the skies in a whirlwind, Eliyahu and Elisha went from Gilgal. And Eliyahu said to Elisha, please stay here, for Yahweh has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said, as Yahweh lives and your soul lives, I will not leave you. And they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today Yahweh will take your master from over your head? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. So we know something's going to happen. We know that Eliyahu is being removed from his office because he, it's a whole different story. I'm not even going to get into that side of it. But we know he's going to be removed over here this day. And something's going to happen from here. Let's drop down to verse 9. And it happened when they were crossing, Eliyahu says to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, then let there now be a double mouth of your spirit on me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. If you shall see me taken from you, it shall be to you. And if not, it shall not. And it happened as they were going on and speaking, behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire came. And they separated between them both. And Eliyahu went up in a whirlwind to the skies. And that's literally the translation the way it should be. Let's read our note here. It says, the word for translated in most Bibles means to take from one place to another. Eliyahu did not go to the third heaven, which is the throne of Yahweh, which no man has ever gone, John 3:13. But he was taken across the sky to another mountain as he had on other occasions, right? So let's look at this now. Let's go to 1 Kings 8. 1 Kings 8. Because this is not the first time this has happened. And the word translated literally just means to be taken from one place to another. 1 Kings 18. Verse 9. And this is where Eliyahu is coming and meeting Obadiah, right? And Obadiah he's telling Obadiah, go to Ahab and tell Ahab, I'm going to meet with you today. And Obadiah is saying, what did I ever do against you? You know, because I'm gonna go tell Ahab that you're gonna meet with him, and then you're gonna be translated, and then my neck is gonna be done. So let's read the story. We'll pick up in verse 8. And he said to him, I am, go say to your master, behold Eliyahu. And then he says, Obadiah, what have I sinned that you're giving your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As Yahweh your Elohim lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent to seek you. And when they said he is not here, then he caused the kingdom and the nation to swear that it did not find you. And now you are saying, go to your master, behold Eliyahu, and it shall be, I will go away from you, and the spirit of Yahweh will lift you up where I do not know, and I will come to tell Ahab, and he will not find you, and he will kill me, and your servant has feared Yahweh from my youth. So, right? Now, why is Yahweh doing this? Very clearly, Eliyahu is the prophet of Yahweh. He has to go, and he has to give hard words to the king. The king don't like it. So the king's saying, you give me hard words, I'm going to kill you. So if Yahweh didn't move him supernaturally from place to place, Elijah would have been killed years ago. And that's what he's saying. Every time the king is coming somewhere to find him, Yahweh moves him to another place. And he's making these people even swear an oath that he's not there. And this is what Obadiah is saying. Now he's really going to go. Because now Yahweh tells him, you go to Ahab and you give him my word. But Obadiah thinks it's going to be just like any other time. I'm going to tell Ahab, and then he's going to move you from this place to another mountain. So very clearly we see when he was taken up in the whirlwind into the skies, it was not the first time that happened, you know, and probably not the last, you know. So he was only taken to the sky. He was not taken to the third heaven. No way. How do we know that for sure? Because 4 to 5 years after this happened in 2 Kings, when Eliyahu was taken up into a whirlwind, we find out that he's writing a letter from another mountain. He's still alive. So let's go to 2 Chronicles 21. And verse 12. 2 Chronicles 21. In verse 12. And a writing came to him, right? A writing came, comes to who? To Joram. He's the king, King Joram. So this is 4 to 5 years after Eliyahu was taken up. And a writing comes to him from Eliyahu the prophet, saying, so says Yahweh the Elohim of your father David, because you have not walked in the ways of your father Jehoshaphat, and in the ways of Asa the king of Judah, and you walk in the way of the kings of Israel, and cause Judah and the people of Jerusalem to commit fornication, like the fornications of the house of Ahab, and you also have killed your brothers and the house of your father who were better than yourself. Behold, Yahweh will strike you with a great destruction among your people and among your sons and among your wives and among your goods. And you in many sicknesses with disease in your bowels until your bowels come out because of the sickness by that day. And our footnote there says, this is after Eliyahu had been translated and proves he was not in heaven but still on the earth. So it's very clear. If we let the Bible interpret the Bible, we see Eliyahu was not taken to heaven, but he was simply moved to another place so that Ahab wouldn't be able to kill him. Back to Hebrews 11. We read in verse 5 about Enoch, right? In verse 32. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, having been circled during the 7 days. By faith, Rahab the innkeeper did not perish with those disobeying, having received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time will fail telling me about Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and Jethro, and also David and Samuel, and the rest of the prophets. The rest of the prophets, so Eliyahu is included here, who through faith overcame kingdoms, worked out righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the mouth of the sword, acquired power in weakness, became strong in war, made armies of foreigners to yield. And then drop down to verse 39. Having obtained witness through the faith, these all did not obtain the promise. Yahweh having foreseen something better concerning us, that they should not be perfected without us. They did not obtain the promise. And back to verse 13. These all died by way of faith, not having received the promises, but seeing them afar off and being persuaded and having embraced and confessed that they are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They all died. So including Eliyahu, the prophet, as it says here, including Enoch, that's named by name, they're not in heaven. They all died not yet receiving the promise. All of them. These are all the fathers of faith. Abraham included and all these people here. David is dead and buried. He's not in heaven. He has not ascended to heaven. So right here in Hebrews 11 clearly says the biggest people of faith are all in their grave waiting the resurrection. They did not receive the promise. Yahweh having foreseen something better concerning us, that they should not be perfected without us. And we know from Thessalonians what that means. That the dead will rise up, they'll meet Yeshua in the air, us that were living will shed these bodies and meet him, and then we'll be together. So we all will be rewarded at the same time. But very, very clearly, nobody is in heaven. Only the Son of Man who came from heaven, John 3:13. Nobody is in heaven. Very, very clear. Last two things I want to go over before we end here. Maybe first also just, because sometimes people will say, what about the transfiguration? Right? In the transfiguration, there's Moses and Eliyahu. What about that? You know, they're not in the grave dead there. They're next to Yeshua. Well, number one, don't be so sure it's Moses and Eliyahu, because that's Peter's interpretation. It could be the two witnesses that are on his side, but let's for a minute say it is Moses and Eliyahu, the way it says. Let's go to Matthew 17, and let's see. Are they really there with Yeshua, whoever they are? Matthew 17 and verse 9. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Yeshua charged them. First of all, let's go in verse 3, right? Of verse 2. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothing became white as the light. And behold, Moses and Eliyahu appeared to them, talking with him. And answering, Peter said, it is good for us to be here. If you desire, let's make three shelters, one for you, one for Moshe, and one for Eliyahu. And then he's going on. But then in verse 9, look what happens. And as they're coming down from the mountain, Yeshua charged them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. It was a vision. It was a vision. He was showing them. And what happens? Why is he showing them this vision of the future? Just like Revelation is a vision. Because look at verse 28 of chapter 16. Verse 27, for it is necessary for the Son of Man to come in the glory of his Father, and then with his holy cherubs he will reward each man according to his work when he returns to earth on the Mount of Olives, right? Truly I say to you, there are men standing here who will not taste death never until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And yet every one of those died. What is he talking about? He's talking about the transfiguration. He's talking about that he was going to show them a vision of what he would look like in his glorified state. It was a vision. That was it. It wasn't actually happening. So that's what the Bible tells us. Very, very clearly, like I said, we have to let the Bible interpret the Bible. But the Bible is clear. No man has gone up to heaven. The Bible is clear. To dust we are. To dust we shall return. The Bible is clear that everyone that dies is sleeping in their grave. And they'll be resurrected at the resurrection. It's that. It's couldn't be plainer. And they're really, like when we look at this, there might at first, if someone really doesn't study it, maybe they wonder, what about Enoch? What about Eliyahu? But when we look at these scriptures, it's very, very clear. Eliyahu was alive 4 or 5 years after Yahweh moved him from one mountain to the other, and Enoch died. The Bible tells us very clearly. Enoch died and was buried. It never says he's up in heaven. The last thing I want to go over is just because Isaiah 66:1, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? That the promise, and this is another problem. Why do 99% of Christianity wrongly assume that they're going to heaven when they die? Because they have no concept of what the reward of Yahweh is. And the reward of Yahweh, right, is the earth. That's what was promised to Abraham. If we go to Galatians 3 and verse 16... Galatians 3 and verse 16. Now the promises which were made to Abraham and to his seed as a covenant, he did not say to your descendants as many, but to your descendants as one that is the Messiah. Right? So we're coming and getting the same reward Abraham's getting. Look at verse 29. If you are of the Messiah, then you are seeds of Abraham and even heirs according to the promise. So what is the promise to Abraham? Let's go back to Genesis. Chapter 17. Was Abraham promised heaven? No. And when Abram was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared to Abram and said, I am El Shaddai, walk before me and be perfect, and I will make my covenant between you and between me and you, and will increase you greatly. And Abram fell on his face, and Elohim spoke to him, saying, as for me, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. And you will no longer be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And I will make you fruitful exceedingly, and I will give you four nations, and kings will come out of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be Elohim to you and to your seed after you. And I will give to you and your seed after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan, which is became the land of Israel, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their Elohim. So that's why Satan wants to hide this from people, because Satan doesn't want people to know that the land of Israel, with Jerusalem as Yahweh's eternal capital, that is our inheritance. That's the promise that's given over and over and over in Scripture. If anybody wants to go to Lesson 6, we have in our correspondence course online, www.cohwh.com, the reward of the saved. We go into this extensively. That is the reward of the saved. It's not heaven. And the last scripture is Revelation 5 and verse 10. Revelation 5 and verse 10. And he's talking about, right, the first fruits, the believers, and he made them kings and priests to our Elohim, and they shall reign on the earth. He made them kings and priests to our Elohim, and they will reign on the earth. And that's what our great covenant is about, and that's what our great reward is about. If you are in Messiah, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the covenant. And the promise to Abraham was the land of Israel here on the earth. Not heaven. It's that simple. No one has gone up to heaven except Yeshua, who came down from heaven. The dead in Scripture over and over and over are sleeping in the grave. And when Yeshua returns, his reward is with him to give each according to their work. So there will be a resurrection. There'll be two of them, actually. One is at Yeshua's return, which is the resurrection of the first fruits in Revelation 20 and verse 4. Revelation 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And the souls of the ones having been beheaded because of the witness of Yeshua and because of the word of Yahweh, and who had not worshipped the beast nor its image, and had not received the mark on their forehead or in their hand, and they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. This is when Yeshua is coming back to the earth, and we will reign with him on the earth here for 1,000 years. Blessed and holy is the one having part in the first resurrection. The second death has no authority over these, but they will be priests of Yahweh and his Messiah, and they will reign with him 1,000 years. And then when the 1,000 years are over, what happens? Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled, and a place was not found. And I saw the dead, the small and the great, standing before Yahweh, and books were opened. And another book were opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead in it. And death and the grave gave up the dead in them. Right? The people coming out of their graves. And they were each judged according to their work. And death and grave were thrown in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And if anyone was not found having been written in the book of life, he was thrown in the lake of fire. So very, very clear. It's appointed to all men once to die, and then judgment. That judgment happens to the first fruits at Yeshua's return, very, very shortly from this point, and then for the rest of the world 1,000 years later in the white throne judgment. Until that time, every human being who's dead is sleeping in the grave, waiting for that resurrection and waiting for that judgment. Yahweh bless your life, Shalom.